With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to this special episode of Dame Baptiste Questions Everything, live from the London Podcast Festival. Our guests are comedians Jess Foster Q and Dan Schreiber. This is part two of the show. Coming up, Dan's question, followed by Dane's question, followed by some questions from the audience. Hope you enjoy.
It's time for a question from Dan.
Yes. My question for the show today is, what is the most batshit crazy theory that you've heard that you wish was real? So I'm talking like, you know, Elvis is still alive, or I'm not talking necessarily conspiracy theories. I even mean like, you know, just rumors from your hometown or something. And I was thinking about this question because I'm working a lot at the moment on a book about crazy theories, basically. Right. And it's fascinating. I there's so many of them. I go, God damn it, what a shame that's not real. And I read one the other day, which is that during the recording of Sergeant Pepper's, Paul McCartney was at home and he had a knock on the door, and he opened the door and the man said at the door, "I'm Jesus." And Paul said, "Well, you better come in." And he brought him in because he couldn't be sure that he wasn't who he said he was. And he thought, "I don't want to be the guy who turned down Jesus when he came back." And so not only did he bring him to the house and make him a tea, but Paul then took him to the recording session of Fixing a Hole by the Beatles of that album. So in the studio, in the logbook somewhere, it has the name of John Lennon, Paul McCartney, Ringo Starr, and George Harrison, and Jesus Christ, really? As someone who observed it that day. And I just love, for me, what I love about that is I do think, God, if Jesus did come back and he came back the year that Peppers, of course you would go to the Beatles first, right? Like that's they were bigger than him, famously. Yeah. And that's something that I really wish was true, that we found out Jesus was back because he wanted to see the Beatles.
Wow. Great question.
It is a tough one.
It's a hard one, right?
But I've got mine instantly, which is, you know, like the one that I want to believe in the most. I suppose that's kind of what you're asking me, isn't it?
Yeah,
kind of
what do you want?
What do you want to be true? And just because I really think it is true, which is they killed JFK.
Ah, like, interesting. Yeah.
Wait. Who's they, Howard?
Wow.
And everybody at home on the live stream.
Oh, God, I've just realized we're live on the internet. And
you are more than safe on the internet with a JFK conspiracy theory.
Yeah,
Howard.
No, that's quite
get comfy.
It's quite low down the chain. Yeah.
This way even set off a blip.
But no, I mean, it's one of those things that you kind of, we all grew up knowing that story, right? It was kind of a famous bit of history. And then as time has gone on, it just feels more and more realistic, doesn't it? That everything we know about the world and everything we know about all kind of, you know.
So what do you want to be true in that scenario?
The American government killed
government
their
conspiracy,
own...
conspiracy, right.
Yeah, can kill their own president, which is... It would just be a kind of... I mean, also because we base so much of our civilization since the Second World War on how good America is, right? Like, that's just a whole part of the landscape of our planet. It'd be kind of quite... nice to know that they were killing their own leaders.
Yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't be too far. It's not the first time they did it.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of weight to that. It's not the first president that they've killed, so...
Sure, the whole kind of... you've seen the film JFK as well, which I think I watched recently and definitely helps you get more excited about the conspiracies. Anyone seen that film? It's like 3.5 hours
Oliver
long.
Stone, who used as source material a guy who writes about Roswell and conspiracy theories, saying he definitely was assassinated by the government. And that was the source material, as well as Jim Garrison. I think his name was Jim Garrison.
Yeah,
he used those two books. Yeah.
And it really makes, because they spliced the drama with actual footage from the day it happened. So it definitely makes you go, "Cool. This is real."
I mean, I don't see it being very far off. I suppose having a figurehead who, you know, ratified or greenlit the assassination is kind of what you'd be looking for. Mm. But I think, yeah, I just don't think America is particularly devoid of scandal nowadays in terms of political intrigue. Because after, you know, after JFK died, they killed Bobby Kennedy as well. Mm. And I think the whole thing was supposed to be over the whole Bay of Pigs fiasco. Mm. And
it's totally believable. It's just the fact that it's never really been confirmed, right? Mm. Like, if I think we all grew up thinking it could have been a...
Well, that's where the term conspiracy theory originates from, right?
Was that possibly, yeah.
That people who were providing an alternate narrative to this whole thing, because there was like the whole magic bullet theory and everything like that. And,
yeah, yeah. Right.
And the fact that like Lee Harvey Oswald, like a lot of Americans you see involved in like school shootings and like all have like military backgrounds.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah.
And so there's this whole big, there's a much to the close conspiracy, it's like a larger thing about the fact that was he activated through Operation Artichoke and MK Ultra and the use of LSD and torture to mind control victims and stuff.
Someone's done their reading.
Yeah, yeah. So I feel like, yeah, that's
right.
That's
so Dane's in on this.
Dane's
one,
in on this.
I mean, it's all theory, isn't it? So yeah, there's nothing wrong with having a theory.
Yeah. It definitely is the one that sucks me in the most. There's a lot of conspiracy theories you can look at, and I don't find them sucking me in.
Well, yeah, I think as well, that's the only one where I actually don't believe in virtually any of the conspiracy theories out there. I actually don't know what I think about certain ones like 9/11, stuff like that. I know that when they busted Osama bin Laden, when they finally got killed him, amongst the materials that they found of his, of books that he was reading, were books about the conspiracy theories of 9/11.
Wow.
And was he reading them as fiction or fact? We don't know, right? Wow. Like, that was never said.
Or is he approving them for distribution?
Yes.
Is he like proofreading it, being like, yeah, I would say some shit like that. All right, let's go.
But in that same way that comedians hoard up all of their reviews, including all of the bad ones. Yeah, yeah. Just every now and again for a bit of self-harm, go back and read that shit.
Jess, have you got a theory that you or something you really love?
Well, do you know what? I think my honest answer, I've been thinking of silly ones and more serious ones, but my honest answer would be like, there's theories about loads of secretly gay celebrities, and I hope they're all true. I so hope they're all true.
The whole list, Jess.
Oh, God, but it's just theory.
I'll start. Jennifer Aniston.
Oh, please. God. I mean...
It would be amazing, wouldn't it, to know? It feels so unfair.
It's so... Yeah, but also it's like there might be really sensitive reasons why they're not out. Like, I don't know. I don't feel that's my...
Well, some of it's commercial, isn't it? That's unfortunate.
Oh, totally.
Rock Hudson, for example.
Yeah. Oh, God. I mean, the list of men's completely gone out of the window, by which I mean my brain, probably because it's just not as important to me. But
Have you seen the interview that Freddie Mercury does in Brazil?
No.
I think it's just after the album, and someone speaks to him about I Want to Break Free.
Okay.
And he's saying, like, you know, a lot of your songs seem to resonate very much with the LGBT community, and even Want to Break Free, a lot of the narrative sounds a lot like, you know, speaking about coming out. Tell us, Freddie, was that the kind of inspiration behind the song? And then Freddie Mercury, this is before he's come out, and he's like, gay, what do you mean? The co-writer of the song has a family and he has kids, so why would it be gay? I don't understand. And you just think, imagine Freddie Mercury having to speak like that.
Utterly.
It's crazy.
Bonkers. The one thing I've heard that I so hope is true, and it's different from that, but it's another sort of silly celebrity one, is apparently there's a Bill Murray has got form. This could be utter bullshit, but how lovely if it's true. Has got form for going up behind people, just dressed in a hat and a Mac, but definitely him, not hiding his face. Going up behind people, not in a hashtag me too way, but putting his hands sort of as if they're over their eyes and going, guess who? Like that. And they turn around and go like, oh, and he goes, no one will ever believe you. Yeah. And then walks off.
So I really hope that's true.
I really hope that's true.
He does so much. I mean, he's a classic for stories that you're like, come on, is that true or not? One that I love that this definitely is true, is Groundhog Day, Tim Minchin turned into a musical and it was going to be closed. The run didn't go as well as they wanted. So just before it was closing, there was a few more weeks left. Bill Murray went to see it. He watched it. And then he went again the next night. And people were suddenly going, is he going to rock up every night? Are we going to have Bill Murray at Groundhog Day every single night? And then he didn't, unfortunately. But it's the kind of thing that he would.
Yeah.
That would have been an amazing commitment, wouldn't it? Turn up every night.
Even if he just did it for a week or something.
Exactly.
I think that's so joyful. And then, actually, when you're that famous, you could start employing properly high-quality lookalikes.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
Or just clone them, which brings us on to one of my conspiracy theories.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I believe that, well, I would like to think it's true. Well, I guess the main one with me would be for like Area 51 and aliens.
Right.
Yeah.
You want that to be.
I want the idea that we're not alone in the universe to be true. I probably have yet to see any physical evidence to support that fact. But I think at the same time, when you're discussing the vastness of the universe, it's very hard to believe there isn't. I guess what doesn't help theory about extraterrestrials is the fact that they always seem to show up in the country known to be vehemently opposed to illegal aliens. So I feel like if I was an alien, I'd probably be like, where should we land? This place that hates people because of the color of their skin. We are fucking green. Are you serious? And they are constantly talking about they don't like illegal aliens. Yeah, but we put probes up in their butts, then they'll be fine with it. It's just very strange.
I think you're right, man. I'm totally with you on the aliens thing. I think it would... does anyone else think it might unite humanity if we found out that... Because it's a common enemy, isn't it?
Oh, what?
What? No. I think that's...
I mean, that was the common enemy straight away. First of all, Dan is a trekkie and he resents that implication.
Yeah. That's how we'd respond. The people would instantly be fearful of them, right? That would, unfortunately, unless they came down and were like, you know, I read
Stephen Hawking's book.
Here's some chocolate coins.
I read Stephen Hawking's book and he is pretty sure that their intention wouldn't be great if aliens showed up.
Oh, yeah, he's scared.
Yeah, he's like, if they come here, it's Independence Day, it's not E.T.
Right.
Yeah. Wow.
And it's like they're here for the resources.
Yes.
But they how would we convince them not to?
We'll have finished all the resources.
By the time they get here, we'll be like that, literally. You should have been here earlier. The resources were delicious.
Nom, nom, nom.
I just think it would be quite fun. You ever seen all your Star Trek? Right. First Contact is a good Star Trek film. Go home and watch that. We don't have to, but it is a good film, isn't it? And that unites humanity, doesn't it?
It's
not real.
I think obviously it would be awesome to have aliens in our life. I think knowing we're not alone in the universe, and I also think I'm on the same thing. No, I've seen no evidence of, and I made a documentary about this for Channel 4. Actually, I went around the UK meeting people who believe they've either been abducted or that they've had encounters, and it's so interesting. The thing I found most interesting was they are really angry at aliens and they're scared of them. Mm. And there was no sense. Like I kept saying to them, I was like, I know, I get that maybe you're worried about the experience, but aren't you excited that you know that aliens exist? Like in your head, you know aliens exist, and we don't. Isn't that really exciting? And they're never like, yeah, it's incredible. And I really can't relate to that because, like, when I was 12, I met John Bon Jovi and I lost my shit. And that's John Bon Jovi. They know there's life in the universe and they can't fathom a moment of going, wow, we're part of this bigger network. Yeah. We're part of this bigger wonderfulness.
I blame sci-fi personally. I think sci-fi is to blame I love sci-fi, Jess. Sorry, but I do love it. But the stakes are so high. You know, they've set such a high bar for what we want aliens to be like.
And I think that's what the problem is that it's the ways in which we've been taught to perceive or imagine aliens, because it's like, would aliens necessarily exist along the same three dimensions that we do? I think that's when you talk about aliens, it's like, would they even be carbon based?
Oh yeah.
Why are we looking from like space?
Not all sci-fi's we've never done that though. In Doctor Who, there's an alien called an adipose that's just a little lump of fat.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which makes sense. Yeah. They might be single celled.
Yeah.
Aliens could be traveling on an asteroid and land and just be frozen and then defrost. And it could be like a microbe that could be very dangerous.
Well, they think on Venus now. That's the big news.
Normally, Putin said,
what, you mean the Russian planet?
The Russian owned. Yeah.
Our planet.
Yeah.
The one with aliens on. That's our one.
But we don't know. I guess there's lots more to be worked out about if that genuinely is. You know, it might be a bit premature as an announcement. But the crazy thing that I heard a scientist, Simon Singh, say is that the thing is, there might be a lot of life in the universe. It might get abundant all over the place, and they might start trying to communicate like we are, sending Voyager and Pioneer golden disks out and beaming messages out into space. The problem is not so much even the sort of size of space, it's the time that we exist in. Right. So if you think of humans, we've really only for like the last 100 years have been communicating or been able to receive the idea of a message from space. 100 years in a universe that's existed for billions of years. There might have been 17 planets that have directly, beamed to us messages, but we weren't around for another billion years. And that's the thing, we're missing each other by time. Yeah. Time is so expansive.
And also probably our understanding of the electromagnetic spectrum. So they might not even communicate with the normal kind of transverse waves and stuff that we use anyway. Or yes. They could literally just be like ultraviolet light and they beam it a particular way and we've not learned to receive it and stuff. So
yeah. Well, do you know, this is another thing I bought. I'm buying a lot of weird shit in lockdown at the moment. And one of the things I bought was this book that Philip K. Dick wrote. So Philip K. Dick.
I love
of,
him.
Yeah. Blade Runner was the movie of Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep?
Yeah.
And he had a thing in 1974 where he said a beam of light from a distant galaxy sent a package, a message to his head, and downloaded information about the universe. And he spent the rest of his life writing notes on this message, trying to decode it. And a bunch of his very famous books that came out after that were him playing himself, trying to understand it in the novels. And there's been quite a few famous people who've claimed to have had messages sent to them telepathically through space, which is bizarre. I mean, again, I don't believe it, but I fucking love it.
We love a conspiracy.
Also, Tupac is alive and in Mexico. And
we all know that.
Regularly producing material and children, and in our darkest hour, he will return.
It was a brilliant question, though, Dan. Thanks.
Amazing.
Great question. Yeah.
Thank you.
What we've had confidence versus arrogance, farting and conspiracy theories. It's pretty good mix, right?
It's a pretty good Sunday, if you ask me. It's a pretty good Sunday.
It's over to you, Dane, to wrap up the show. Well, to come up with the final question.
Yeah. So again, these have been great questions from great guests, and I can't thank you enough. Very humbled by your contribution. My question, I guess, is that everybody here, when you're buying tickets or thinking about this festival. This wasn't how we imagined it to turn out. So my question is, how will live entertainment survive in the next 3 to 5 years? Mm-hmm. Because, a large part, most more recently, we have been moving the podcast recordings to Zoom and then on Squad.
Online
and stuff. And, you've seen some artists have been doing live shows. And obviously, we've had to reimagine most of the entertainment we consume digitally. The likelihood of us going back, I wonder how that's going to work, because we're kind of moving towards an automation as a part of, the whole paradigm of capitalism versus labor anyway. Mm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the question is, where is live entertainment going? Will it still exist? And what might necessarily replace it? And is that a bad thing? Mm. Or is it just naturally, is it the natural progression? Like, video killed the radio star.
Yeah.
But has, modem killed the TV star?
Yeah, it's a bit too early to tell, isn't it? I think I always notice that, whenever Facebook changes the skin and suddenly it's like your home button's on the other side of the page, we all lose our shit and I won't adjust to this, and then you do. And I wonder if we're in that kind of pissed off, we won't adjust to this, and actually we're going to map out a whole new way of globally performing to people, which is extraordinary. Mm. You know, people watching this right now, there may be people sitting in a small town in China, there may be people in Australia who've got up super early in order to watch it. And none of us have been able to do that before because we never thought to do that. No streaming globally has ever really, I'm sure it has happened, but not in a public conscious. And you're seeing performers now organize global events where they're doing geo-locked concerts to Australia, and then tomorrow night we're playing South Africa, and then tomorrow night we're going to hit Europe. And that's fascinating, and you suddenly turn it from 40 people in a room to potentially billions. Which won't obviously happen, but
or maybe even more billions if those are beaming out to space.
Exactly, who knows where that's.
I got a big Venusian following. go to Venus, everyone's like, Dane's the man.
What do you think, Jess? Where do you stand on this current state of play?
On the one hand, I think everything Dan said there was great. I did a live one of my podcasts, but virtual, and it was like, oh, this actually is amazing, and it's much less stressful, and it forced me to be more inventive about what I did with the panel, because in my podcast people eat together. So actually it was brilliant. That was brilliant. But I think it will be a very sad day if we lose the human connection of live performance at all. I would say, especially for stand-up, because it's a duologue, a conversation, mm-hmm. not necessarily literally, but because of the sound of laughter is the audience's contribution to the conversation, and it is nothing without it. Or it's not nothing, but it's a fundamentally different thing.
Absolutely,
camera down a lens. To, mm-hmm. I found it virtually impossible to do any material at online gigs that I had historically done as a normal stand-up on stage, because all my muscle memory was out of whack, yeah. and I was like, well, I'd rather just write new stuff for this new medium. Certainly to try, I can't try and put. I tried to put out a show an hour, and I just had a meltdown. Like, I tried three times because somebody offered me really good money, but I was just like, come on, do it. And I was like, I can't. I don't know where to put my body. I don't know where to put the camera. Like, unless it's being. Even if it was filmed in an empty room, it might have been easier, but I was, this is horrible. I do, however, saying all of that sounded quite negative, feel pretty optimistic at this stage that come a vaccine, we will have a normality of coming out to live performances and stuff again. Perhaps one optimistic way of looking at it is that we do pay higher regard or more quickly notice when we're saturating a particular market. For example, like, is it necessary to have comedians play 10,000 seat arenas? Is that the right format? I know it's a very cheap thing to put on an arena and fill it out, but do you lose something in that environment? And is it worth putting 10,000 people sit next to each other for the sake of a person talking? It makes sense if you've got some great big theatrical spectacle to watch, but and things like the Edinburgh Festival, where it would take you something, isn't it something like 59 years to watch everything that's on there now? There's too much stuff on. Wow. Yeah.
No,
there is too much. I'm not to say, oh, how do you start policing who does what? But ultimately, if everybody can turn every single cupboard into a venue, then it is going to just be a sort of big pointless sea of shit, and very hard to for anyone. It means that there's people out there doing extraordinary things and nobody's noticing. I don't know. I think that it won't be a bad thing if we get a vaccine that means that we can come back into having live shows and stuff, but perhaps with a bit of caution and perhaps with a bit more thought to should you do something just for the sake of doing it, or should you do something when you're really sure you've got something to say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I feel personally, the thing about, I guess, the times we're in now is that there is an inevitability to this anyway. I feel like that's the issue, is that all of our reactions and the way we've reimagined things like live shows and stuff have all been a result of been reactive and have been the result of contingencies. But really, I mean, I have limited knowledge of virology and stuff, but it's like, as Dan said in earlier questions, your flatulence is produced by bacteria being inside of you, which in itself, and I say it's because in itself, it means that, like, human beings have never been a distinct dominant species because we're already observing symbiosis, because there's other organisms within our body that we have to work with so we can live. And so even with viruses and stuff as well, is that if it wasn't COVID or corona, there was going to be something, because in order for us to evolve, we need to experience a stimulus in the form of like a threat of a virus so that our immune systems evolve. And that's how human beings are supposed to thrive anyway. So I guess one part of the question is I don't know if it's just going to be COVID that's inhibited our abilities to perform live. There are a lot of other aspects to just our existence as human beings anyway that might compromise the ability to interact with people, whether it's environmental reasons. Some places may not even be safe to occupy anymore. As again, automation, whereby so many more jobs are going to be done which don't require your live presence. I mean, already with lockdown, it's like, you know, if you really want to, you can have home delivery for your groceries, you can have Amazon deliver, like, stuff as well. So we're already kind of moving towards that. So even outside of the whole issue of COVID, it's like how much longer it is. And even going back to the question about confidence and arrogance, I think a lot of that arises from the fact that people don't have to observe the humility of having to interact with people live. And that's probably why you see that kind of sentiment, particularly from, I guess, what you'd regard as influencers or YouTubers, because they're never held to account or have to, you know, be present to be held account for their actions. If they say something negative, they never have to actually confront their detractors.
Well, people have decided that they actually quite like not having to spend time with people. I think that has happened to a lot of people, whether it be punters or artists.
Because like I said, like I just said, it's always indulged. So there are certain elements of obligation where it's like before you can't necessarily choose your family. Yeah. But whereas now it's like there's such a commercial interest in feeding everyone's sense of individuality.
Yeah, of overblowing how much you're entitled to, your rights.
Yeah.
And there's very little value in reasserting your responsibilities, although that did happen during lockdown.
A phone alone is a perfect example, because with a smartphone, you can theoretically never be lonely, which means you never have to, you'll never have the obligation to try and rapport build with people. Whereas normally if you're somewhere you don't really know anybody, like say you go to a new school or a new workplace, you're more inclined to start interacting with people and rapport building because you won't have the distraction. Whereas like I've experienced, I can be in Australia and still be connected somewhat to people in London because I just go on my phone.
And if your phone isn't quite cutting it, can I recommend growing your armpit hair out? Because
I've started. Yeah. A little bit of stubble there.
I just hope, man, like there's that feeling. Like, you know that feeling when it was just, you had such a good time. Like, here's the
time when you go, hello, Dan Schreiber. My name is motherfucking Bon Jovi.
But like, it's weird. Like me and Dane, like went and filmed Dane doing 3 gigs in a night, right? Yeah. And I happened to pop up on my YouTube. So I was just like, oh, well, I'll watch that again just to see what it was like. Good edit. I was like, wow, man, like that was exciting that night. You know? Yeah. We just wandered around London with a camera, me, you and the camera guy, Zach, and it was amazing. And I remember like, I was actually watching, what a tragic life I've got, but I was watching the Bruce Springsteen video for Dancing in the Dark. Anyone know that? And he pulls Courtney Cox out of the audience.
How old was she then?
She was like teenage, like very, very young. Wow. And he pulls her out of the audience. And as she's pulling her out of the audience, I'm thinking to myself, well, you can't do that now, Bruce. You'd have to like, there's just no way you can pull her.
Sanitize first. Track and trace.
That's going to really slow down that bit of the song.
And then be like, all right, ladies, get off.
But like,
she's gone.
The magic of the magic of those moments, live art is just tremendous, isn't it? And just to think that we're not going to get back to that.
We're sort of in a, like, unfortunately, the reality is the situation is what it is. And so maybe we need to be, this is, to me, it's kind of like Apollo 13. It's flying out in space. It's heading to the moon. Something breaks. We need to get them home. We need to get them home in terms of entertainment right now, live entertainment. What do we do that we can make this still go on? And talking about that sort of like, you know, if aliens came and the sort of like it would unite humans, this weirdly, it's an exciting moment for us to maybe do that. I remember years ago, I'm sure everyone here remembers the moment in the 2012 Olympics and the opening ceremony when Chariots of Fire starts and suddenly a finger is going dunk, 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 playing that recurring bass line, and the camera pans up and it's Rowan Atkinson's face and it's Mr. Bean, and we all laugh. But not only did we laugh, the globe laughed in that moment, because Mr. Bean is one of the most recognized faces in every country. In China, he's like the third most famous face of anyone. And if aliens were watching our planet on that one moment, they would have heard the planet laugh globally, all together, no barriers there. And I don't know. I guess I go optimistic on this kind of stuff. I just think now's time for ingenuity. Let's play to the world now. Like, how cool would that be?
Yeah, and I think there can be a synergy between, I suppose, digital media and live performance, in that people who are back here can experience that, like I said, the reciprocity of the laughter and validation of your duologue. But yeah, it's, you know, nowadays it's like, you know, the revolution won't be televised, it'll be streamed.
Yes.
So like I said, it's all about the kind of global aspects of it. So I a lot of people worry a lot about it, a lot of live performance, and like it's dried up. I don't think it's dried up. I just think we're going to have a window where there's going to be a lot more curation. And it'll make more sense. So having someone just performing in a cupboard for the sake of performing don't really cut anymore.
So it sucks that that's the case, but
we need everybody even more grateful for each other.
We need you to be making people laugh.
But there needs to be a reason for it. And I guess it means that people's the impetus for the people to create and perform live, there'll be a lot more gusto and gratitude for it.
Yeah.
I've seen drive-through strip clubs.
What? Wow.
They during the earlier time parts of lockdown, they were doing drive-through strip clubs. So someone would like pull up around the corner. I don't know. He's like, I don't know how it works. And I'm like, what would you like? A 2-piece special? And then you'd
make your way around
the corner. And then it's like, let me get the 2-piece with a shake. And and then there'd be a dancer on the pole. And then I guess you put the money through the window.
Contactless though, isn't it?
All contactless. I mean,
£45 now.
Art will always find a way. And and I suppose, and holograms as well. That's coming.
Holograms is big.
Holograms will kind of help.
Holograms is big.
It's big. Tupac's back.
Yeah, Tupac's back. See.
Yeah.
It's his time.
Yeah, so it's his time. They always have to combine together in some way or another. Also, Elon Musk has got that thing that beams stuff directly into your brain, doesn't it?
Does he?
Yeah, I think he's testing it on a pig for now, but I think he's created a chip which beams information or beams music directly into your brain.
Wow. That pigs the next minute.
Has anyone else heard of this?
Yeah, I've heard of this.
So, you know,
that's exciting, isn't
it? I guess the illusion of life might be there as well. I mean, me personally. Wow. Back to the alien thing. No one else's surname is Musk in Earth ever.
It's true.
I'm just saying, just hands up if you've ever met somebody with a surname Musk before.
No,
never.
Right? Or even an Elon. We've all met a Leon.
Yeah.
There's even been an Egon in Ghostbusters, but no Elon.
Yeah, that's so true. So, it's a very good point.
There's a theory that he's got two people, full-time staff, trying to work out whether or not we are actually living in a universal video game, as it were.
Oh, simulation, right. Yeah, the Matrix. No.
I mean, those people must hate their fucking lives.
But are their names Neo or Trinity? If not, they'll fail.
it was a great question. That's four amazing questions. I hope you guys have enjoyed all the questions.
I'm glad you have.
If you said no, then we're just...
Exactly. You could say no. We'd never know who said it. So that's the anonymity you have. But these have been great questions, and thank you for a great discussion. Please give a round of applause to Dan Schreiber and Jess Foster-Q.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yes, and very much as promised, of course, we will try to be as democratic as possible and question everything. The floor is now open for the next 15 minutes for members of the audience to ask a question. So anybody have a question? And if you are listeners of the show, you know there's no such thing as a stupid question. So feel free. We have a gentleman here.
Choice of COVID masks.
Yeah, the overexpress.
Oh, you mean with patterns and all that, right?
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
Or do you mean whether they've made it snazzy or not, like gone with one with the old sequins on and that, for a big night out?
Peekaboo. Could do a peekaboo.
Nothing into this,
sorry. Oh, I see.
I live in Catford in southeast London, and right in the heart of lockdown where you really were only allowed out for that 1 hour, I saw a man... burst a little hole in his mask to have a cigarette through it.
I think we should all get our masks out. Have you got your mask on you? You should show them what we've got. I've got this one that was given to me by my mother-in-law. Ooh. And it's got symbols from Hong Kong on it.
Yeah, which hopefully means successful marriage. So,
what you got, Dane? Just
my mask. Off. No. My mask is a VP195. It is used by the Vietnamese police department. Because they previously had SARS, so 70% of the Vietnamese population wear these masks, and their prevalence of COVID has been really low. I think they've had like maybe less than
anyone,
triple digit, less than anybody in Vietnam. So, and it's machine washable up to 30 times.
Nice.
Plug, plug, plug.
Yes.
Up to 30 times, I can remember. I got that. It's a little bit of an old lady one, but my best mate, who's also a very brilliant writer and actor called Rachel Stubbings, has a little Etsy shop, and I got a prototype with the material that she's got least popular with real customers.
Lovely.
But I don't care.
And Dan's modelling his.
I have my prequel Batman mask.
Nice.
Lovely.
And yeah, this is actually my favourite. I've tried a bunch, and these are the ones that you can just get in any kind of pharmacy or corner shop, and I actually like it so much that I just prefer having it on. I don't know, it's very kind of, the material's really nice.
Is anybody else living their ninja fantasy?
Yeah. My ex-mother-in-law made a bunch that are like high spec. Like, ooh, she wanted the fittings, dimensions of our faces, and they've got like a pocket in that you put a folded up bit of kitchen roll in, and they tie up at the back so that you don't get elastic chafing around your ears if you're wearing them for a long time. Like, so much effort in. 5 minutes in one and I feel like I'm gonna puke. Like, they're so restrictive. They're too effective, if anything, to the point where you're like, it might be easier to get the virus, actually, than pass out in this Sainsbury's with my kid. Lovely. Do you know what I mean?
Hopefully that answers the question.
Yeah. When Nike make one, I think Nike already have one. So when Gucci... you're right. It's crazy. It's crazy that people are making designer masks. Cool, but thank you very much. Next question, please.
Here we go. There's someone
down in front.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So excited by this question.
McDonald's. You wonder why your son's farting and can't control it, Howard.
So listen, it's all about the scenario. So for me, the drunkenness, McDonald's, big time. And I want to get so much McDonald's that when I eat, look in the morning, I'm like, I can't believe I worked my way through that. And then if I'm on my own, you know, maybe my wife has gone away for the night. And KFC, a full, you know, the box with extra wings. Over to the guys here.
So cute.
I haven't thought about it at
all. It's the cutest answer I've ever seen you
78 episodes and he's been like, yeah, I guess. My daughter's KFC. Let me tell you. Let me tell you how this goes down.
And where you're standing on this
McDonald's
debate.
Sausage Egg McMuffin is the greatest food invention, I think.
Double sausage and egg, man. Or just sausage and egg?
Single, I think it's a bit greedy.
Single?
To get double, yeah.
You think it's a bit greedy to get double?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I actually,
never coming on my podcast.
Just before lockdown.
Are you a McMahon or not?
Oh, no.
Just before lockdown, I lost half of my tooth to a sausage and egg McMuffin.
Oh, yeah. That's not a good sign.
I know. It was bad.
The gristle.
I was furious for ages as well because I thought it was someone else's tooth. I was like, they've got a fucking tooth in my sausage McMuffin.
It could
I was going to go up there and complain. I was going to go, excuse me, what the fuck is this? And as I was about to do it, my tongue went behind my to the back bit there and disappeared just into a hole. And I was like, oh, holy shit. And I had to make up an excuse when I saw a dentist of why it had fallen out because that was too embarrassing.
Because you didn't want to admit the shame of having had a McDonald's breakfast.
I said it was a really hard sausage.
great.
Lot less shameful.
Yeah.
Was this junk food, Dan? No. I've just been sucking dicks.
Do your job.
Jess, where do you stand on this?
I don't care about McDonald's unless it is at breakfast time. I also don't eat, well, very, very, very rarely eat meat anymore. So both of these are slightly moot points. But McDonald's still have absolutely pretty much fuck all, really.
But both
for
these restaurants now have a plant-based menu.
Not since COVID. They haven't brought it back. Like, they've got
what was in those plants?
Dusty old bean burger. No, thanks. Just get some chips and McFlurry or fuck off. But a double sausage and egg McMuffin, because yes, I'm a greedy, was the stuff of dreams back in the day. But I do think KFC wins in the sense that there have been two hangovers that will stay with me for my whole life that were, I would say, over 30% cured by KFC. And the filthy, filthy gravy. Somebody told me how it was made once. Now I can never unknow that.
Was it made really in the same way that, like, when people get chips and curry sauce and you're like, there has been no Asian people involved in the production of this curry sauce?
For sure. It's, oh God, no, it's so gross. I won't go into it. But I would say KFC wins, but I'm really sad that they've not brought their vegan burger back because I haven't had a chance to try it yet.
No.
Bring it back.
Dane, where do you stand?
It's a tough one because, like you said, McDonald's has breakfast, but KFC has hot wings.
Oh, those wings.
But then,
that batter.
And then KFC...
I've never tried a hot wing. Talk me through it.
It's like a Morley's hot wing, but more expensive.
Okay.
That's all I got.
Okay,
really.
Got it. Just like super spicy, whatever's in
it's
the
not,
coating
it's
is spicy.
It's not super spicy, but it's like, for me, I'm somebody that I like to see the bone of the meat I'm eating.
Yeah.
Then it's
cool,
like,
cool.
Well, it was a bird.
Yeah.
So that's how the hot. But the hot wings are pretty good. I'm a big fan. There's something about the smaller meat and closer to the bone. Maybe the meat is slightly more succulent.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's got so much MSG in it. I am so excited by it in my system.
Yeah, yum,
I'm
yum,
like,
yum,
this
yum.
Is fucking amazing because you, it has to be very good because popcorn chicken is an abomination.
Oh, it's disgraceful.
It's as isn't much as an abomination.
Absolutely disgraceful. Just a little sort of nut of just the coating.
Oh, and
really.
It's just taking the piss out of the chicken, isn't it?
I mean,
it's turned you into popcorn.
You've taken two things that are delicious and made a monster. Yeah. In the same way, just like rice cake.
Franken chicken.
Yes, rice cake.
Right, because rice and cake all day
nice,
long.
Cakes are nice. I'll have a bit of rice cake.
Finish with a cake. Put it together. Now the patriarchy is oppressing us and forcing us to observe certain body shapes that no one can live up to.
No, thank you.
But Dane, just to push you, because we're going to try and get an extra question.
Oh,
you're going KFC. I can hear you going KFC.
Oh, God. I got to say KFC because I can't have red meat anymore, really. But I just feel like, look, I'm going to be honest with you. What me and my friends used to do is that we'd bring hot wings to McDonald's and be like, we're going to do security guard, bruv. And that's how you get around that one.
Okay.
That's the best answer. I mean, that's an incredible
that is,
question.
Yeah.
Great question.
Have we got any more questions? We can have some quick fire ones, maybe. Or maybe not. Let's see what it is.
Which one, sorry?
Should they bring gladiators back?
Should they bring gladiators back?
No. Yes.
No.
What?
Don't waste our time.
Why not? Fact,
I can assure you it's coming back. I'm going to tell you why. In the last couple of years, I've seen Conor McGregor, a UFC martial artist, fight against Floyd Mayweather, a boxer. Yesterday, I saw a YouTube influencer who's a dwarf called Little Man. He had a fight against the Algerian dwarf boxing champion. And he won, which means now they are having dwarf fights on the internet that are unlicensed. We're not too far off the Running Man. I don't even know why you're worried about gladiators. The Running Man is coming. Would you like a stereo? You have to kill somebody for it. That's where we're going to be soon. Like, I feel like...
Gladiators was 90s, man. It's over. Gladiators is done.
What TV are you watching?
I'll get a giant cotton bud now, Jess, and fight
you. If you can't wait for Gladiators to come back, and nor can I, in the meantime, please enjoy on Netflix a program called Strong. It's where they get, like, American housewives and make them as strong as they can be and pair them up with, like, the world's best personal trainers. And it's really addictive, even though there's some very toxic and awful body transformation stuff, but the actual fitness side of it is very fun. In the meantime, if you're up for sort of more of the kind of like the you will go on my first whistle type element of it and less of the kind of physical challenge, may I recommend The Floor is Lava, also on Netflix, where people just have to jump over very slippery shit.
That's cool. Then there's a show in America as well where it's like man versus beast, and they basically, like, there'll be one episode where they'll be like, you three contestants will be competing against a bear, and then they literally were like, so
it's
this
the Hunger Games.
I told you it was coming, and then wow. What they did is that they like, this is a bear's diet. And they'd be like, here's like 2 pounds of salmon, some blueberries and some corn. And you got to eat at the same time as a bear. They fail at everything. But my God, it's worth the watch. Then there's like a tug of war with a bear. Who's going to end up in the river? Obviously the human being. But they do it anyway. So I'm saying, should gladiators come back? Why stop there? Real gladiators. I mean, Colosseum, executions. Two people versus a tiger, like in the movie.
Dane Baptiste questions everything, does not endorse that, just so you know.
Consensual animals. Look, Howard, there's animals around
now. We'll talk about it backstage. If you want to pitch this, we'll pitch it.
There's a lot of animals right now.
If a bear was up for it, I'd have a tug of war with one.
How do you get a consensual animal?
There's some animals that want revenge. There's animals that want revenge.
Consensual animals is just what I'm taking away from today,
man. There's a tiger somewhere. All the tigers in Tiger King. That was a big thing in lockdown. You think they don't want revenge for how they were treated?
Okay, so we're undecided on bringing gladiators back, basically.
We're definitely
pretty clear.
Definitely, yes.
I do enjoy
definitely
saying gladiators ready. Do you remember the whole, that was quite an exciting.
You will go on my first whistle.
Yeah,
that's the best part. I do want to say, though, just to add, though, if they're going to bring back gladiators, we need to be more expansive with the names of black gladiators.
Oh, my God,
can we just have
yeah
names that just don't pertain to their complexion? Shadow. Nightshade.
Oh, my God. Really? Yeah, that was...
Rhino. An endangered African beast.
Fucked up.
That's classy.
Fucked up.
Where does it stop? Right, Bina, Current, Soot, other things that are black, it's not good enough.
Yeah.
So if they're going to bring it back, we need a much better consultant to come up with some of these names. I'm not having it until they start running out of things that are black. Next, you'll be doing Duel with Carbon.
And none of the presenters are allowed to have beaten up their wife. It'll
That's
be brilliant this time round.
I'm really big on that.
Yeah.
No. Will they say a wooga? No, that's the big question that nobody knows.
Well, bring back Akaboose.
And Fashionu did it. They both did it.
Did Fashionu do that?
Fashionu said a wooga, yeah. And Akaboose said a wooga.
Yeah, so they shared it. So that was cool.
We've got time for one more quick question after this Gladiators madness. We've got a man in the middle with a hand.
Oh, I love Gladiators.
Do you do the same thing every day when you wake up?
good question.
That was a good, the way Howard? You said it. It got to me. Do I do the same thing every day?
I detend, there's a tone of tedium from lockdown. I heard in that, like, I'm kind of sick of this shit now. Still, are you? The question is kind of, are you sick of doing this?
As soon as you wake up.
Mm.
Do you know what, mate? I can tell you, I do, because every day now I wake up at about 5 a.m. and I walk next door and there's this bloke that I invented that I told you about, and he smiles at me and laughs. That's every day. So yeah.
Do you do that before you've had a piss? Wow. Yeah, I have a wee first.
It's first
committed.
Kid.
That'll wear off.
It's first kiddie.
Yeah.
What about you guys?
Wee wee.
Wee wee.
Straight out of the bat.
Similar, actually, to like when you have a young, I have, as we were talking about, my boy's 5 months, there's routine. So it's not your life anymore for a bit. It's kind of, okay, wake up, get the milk because he's crying his ass off, give the milk, then get back to sleep, change his nappy, all that sort of stuff.
It's hard.
I love it. It's great.
A friend of mine called Nick Bujak, who actually made the music for this show, which you probably hear on the show all the time, is he would wake up and sigh. That's the first thing he'd ever do.
Still trapped in this mortal coil on the devil's earth.
What about you, Dane?
I have probably more recently and more often been meditating.
Cool.
Prior to that, I would say that I used to like have a quick browse through social media and realize that you lose an hour and your anger level is, I'm ready to fight before I've had a shower.
So as soon as you wake up, you do some meditating.
So now when I wake up, I do some meditating.
Wow. Just like being in that zen zone.
Yeah, just having that zen zone, that quantum of solace, and be like, what is my day going to be like? How do I want to approach stuff in my day? Mm. What stuff about yesterday kind of bothered me? And just what my intentions are. And just resetting everything, and like, just being a little bit introspective because that is so Hollywood.
This is the kind of shit I try to pull on my wife.
You're such a glamorous rock star.
I'd love to feed the baby. I'm just gonna do a bit quick meditating.
I live by myself, so I have to think.
And
about
I've wet how, myself.
There you go. I live by myself, so I always think, what's the first thing I have to say to somebody? So I have to kind of think about, you know. I guess it's almost as if
powerful.
It would this be the last thing I say on earth, or the first thing I say, or the first person I speak to? So it's always like, I guess, you know, how am I going to contribute to society today?
What an inspiring final bit of this Absolutely. Live recording. And thank you to all the people for all the questions. And if you didn't get yours answered, come and get us on social media.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. We will post on the Debbie Questions Everything Instagram. So if any further questions, please do continue to send them in. But again, guys, thank you so much for coming and supporting. Please give yourselves a round of applause.
Yeah.
Big a round of applause for all the staff here at the King's Place for helping us organise the tour. Thank you very much, guys. And once again, please give a massive round of applause to our two guests today, Dan Schreiber and Jess Foster Q.
And let's hear it for Dane.
And my producer friend, Howard Cohen, a.k.a. The Hizzer. This has been Dane Baptiste Questions Everything, guys. Thank you so much for coming. Enjoy the rest of your weekend and enjoy the rest of your festival.
Thank you very much, guys.
Goodbye, everybody. See you later.
So long.
You've been listening to Dane Baptiste Questions Everything, hosted by Dane Baptiste. For more from Dane, go to danebaptiste.co.uk or follow him on Twitter at DaneBapTweets or Instagram at DaneSnapTeast. Our guests were Jess Foster Q and Dan Schreiber. You can follow Jess on Twitter and Instagram at Jessica Foster Q. You can follow Dan on Twitter and Instagram at Schreiberland. The show is produced by me, Howard Cohen. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at The Howard Cohen. The show is mixed and mastered by Audio Culture. You can follow Audio Culture on Instagram at We Are Audio Culture. Please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to us. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at DBQE Podcast. Thanks to Polly, Gelly, and the Acast team for all their support. Thanks for listening, guys, and remember, question everything.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.